Good morning, everybody. Today our passage is going to come from Galatians 5, verses 16 through 24. Sorry, I almost said 16 through 14. I thought that would be an interesting time warp. Today our message is about walking in the Spirit. Not walking in the Spirit, but allowing the Spirit to produce fruit in us as we walk with it. This is a difficult passage for me this week as I was going through it. I struggled with it a lot, and I hope that as we go through it, you can understand and hear that struggle and let it work in you as well. If you would please rise as we read in Jesus' name. Again, starting in Galatians 5, verse 16, going through 24. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to hear your words today. Please make this message that comes from me your message. Help us to understand, Lord, what it is you want us to hear, and Lord, what it is we need to have written upon our hearts. Father, as we come today, please hide me behind the cross, for we came to see your Son. We came to see Jesus. Please, Lord, let it be your message that is heard today. Make the words that come from my mouth be your words. Help us to write these words upon our hearts. Take them from here and share them with others. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to kind of start this out today with something that may seem, well, you know what, I'm just going to start out. How many of you have ever heard of the Westboro Baptists? I mean, some of you probably have. I know that many of you probably already know who they are or who this group is, but some of you may not be aware. And I admit, I'm going to be forthcoming about this, I am not a fan of the Westboro Baptists. And it's not because they're Baptists, don't get me wrong. I know clearly that many of our Baptist brothers and sisters are Christians who share the love of Christ as much as we do, as much as we as Lutherans do. But the Westboro Baptists, they're an altogether different kind of animal. I realize, again, that some of you may not know who they are, and I will share with you just a little bit about them. But before I do, I want to clearly state that I do not support, nor do I condone, the way they protest, and the way they present the gospel to the world, or present their version of the gospel to the world. And I think that after you hear about who they are and what they do, you may understand why. Many of you have probably even heard of the Westboro Baptists and not even realized it. So let me tell you just a little bit about their theology, what they claim and what they preach. According to their website, they are an old-school Baptist church, and they adhere to the teachings of the Bible and preach against all form of sin. They claim that they are not Calvinists, but they do claim that they believe in the 5 points of Calvinism, which, for the most part, doesn't sound too bad, right? But this is where they display something vastly different. And this is a quote directly from their page. I'm giving them credit for what they've said about themselves. They say, even though the awful, destructive, sin-encouraging lies that God loves everyone and Jesus died for everyone are being taught from nearly every pulpit in this generation with no focus on the wrath, holiness, and judgment of God, this hasn't been the case. If you are in a church that supposedly believes the Bible and you are hearing these lies, then your church doesn't teach what the Bible teaches. So they're saying that God doesn't love everyone, and they're saying that Jesus only died for them, for the elect, for those who he's chosen. The Westboro Baptists are known for protesting at funerals of American soldiers. They protest with signs that read, and I'm sorry, some of these things are actually going to be rather shocking, but they protest with signs saying that you're going to hell. God hates whores. God hates America. God hates Easter. Fags doom nations. And God hates fags. As a matter of fact, that's their website. If you choose to decide to look up their information, it's godhatesfags.com. How loving. I wonder, when the world sees this from a church, how does the world view the church? I mean, if I was told that God hates me and that he wants nothing to do with me, I don't think that I would care to hear any more from that person or from that organization. And I can definitely understand why people don't like this church. I freely admit that I don't think they understand the meaning of Christ's message. They don't understand what Christ is saying. I examined much of the Westboro Baptist website to try and understand their theology, and I really did ponder this because I couldn't understand how a group calling itself a Bible-believing church could really believe these words. I wanted to understand what the point of their actions were. And the more I read, the more it reminded me of a joke that one of my favorite comedians will make when he's talking about how awful people can be. The joke goes, "You better get sanctified or you're going to get chicken fried." How many of you would have responded to the gospel when you heard that? If somebody had seriously come up to you and said that. Their theology is based on the idea you're either chosen by God, and they will say that that's by grace, or that God flat out hates you and you belong in hell. That is what they preach. And that makes me wonder, is that actually walking in the Spirit? Is that what Paul meant when he says to us, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh? Now, I know we read this passage and we read Galatians 5 and we read that whole list of things that are walking in the Spirit. Or, I'm sorry, walking in the flesh. And it could be used, it really couldn't be used to completely describe the Westboro Baptists or the message they present. But I'm sure that many would look at this passage and say to it that it points to many other sins, particularly when Paul gives us a list. I mean, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, divisions, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I mean, that's a big list. And it's easy for us to cherry pick from a list like that. It's easy for us to point at things like homosexuality, point at adultery, point at people who are following other gods, people who are deliberately being divisionist. It's easy to point that finger of accusation. It's easy to point at other people and say, those filthy sinners. And in a sense, that's what Westboro is doing, isn't it? Aren't they just calling out sin, pointing out that sin is evil and bad and that we shouldn't do it? I mean, warning people about the consequences of sin is a good thing, right? But are people like Westboro calling out sin? Or are they condemning people? You know, when I was talking to the kids here, I was telling them, you know, I was mentioning about how people can say bad things and it can hurt them. But it doesn't make them any better people than who we are, does it? We're just as sinful as any other person that's walking out there. Any person who is struggling with their own sin is really no different than us. But when we condemn them and say that God hates those people and loves us, aren't we condemning? I mean, how many of us have caught ourselves doing the same thing? I hate to say it, but I have done that. I have caught myself being angry and hating someone because of their sin. You know, it reminds me of a passage where Jesus points out and says, how can you remove the splinter from your eye when you're when you have a plank in your own? And when we point out those sins like that, when we point out and tell people and condemn people, aren't we performing the works of enmity? Of strife, anger, dissension, divisions, or even heresy? Or let's just call it what the Apostle Paul called it, the works of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And that's what happens when we walk in the flesh. We pit ourselves against the Holy Spirit. We oppose ourselves against God. And when we condemn others, we're condemning ourselves. That's the work of the flesh. It pits our deeds against the law. And we cannot earn our righteousness by fulfilling the law, nor by pitting ourselves against it, for we are all sinners. And we will never be able to do what we know is right. As a matter of fact, when we do our confession of sin this morning, when we come to the table, we talk about how we're unable to do the good that we want and the evil that we do not want to do, we keep doing. And yet there is an answer that we are given here in our message. There's a path to salvation. In verse 22, Paul tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See, the fruit of the Spirit, in essence, actually, what the Spirit itself produces, not us, not our flesh, but what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those wonderful things. And when we live in the light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we are in Him. And then we're able to show love. We're able to give it to broken sinners who are in need of a Savior, like ourselves. When we let the Spirit produce, we are showing them Christ. We then help produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is already residing in us. And of this, we are only able to display the fruit because of the great love that Jesus has given. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. It's not that we may boast. It's not that we are able to do these works. It is the produce. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living within us. And we're allowed to show that because of the love that Jesus has already shown us and has given freely to sinners like us and those who need to receive it most. When I look at the way that the Westboro Baptist Church presents the gospel, I'm saddened. Because there's no way that creating divisions and dissension and enmity and strife in that way is going to draw someone closer to God. I pity them. Because they've missed the entire point of the book of Galatians. Paul says it clearly when he begins the book in Galatians 1, verses 6, 7. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. This is essentially what happens when our flesh does its work. And it saddens me. Because people who want to walk in the flesh are not going to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. People like the Westboro Baptists, the only reason that they follow Christ is out of fear that if they don't, he will hate them. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that God sent his Son to earth to live a life we are unable to do, to die on our behalf, and to take our sin upon himself so that we might be saved and that we might wear a righteousness we don't deserve to have and to be called his. The gospel is that Jesus took our sins and died for us, all of us, so that we might be saved from ourselves. And God loves you that much. Jesus loves you that much. The Holy Spirit loves you that much. That they made a way for us to be saved, to be able to come to them and have our sins forgiven. And it is only found through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to rest knowing that it isn't anything that we have done, but it is everything that Christ has done for us. Father, help us to trust in you and to not allow ourselves to be hung up on our own sins when presenting your love and your gospel to others. And Father, I pray for those who don't understand it, who don't know it. Father, I pray that they hear the true words of the gospel, that they hear that Christ died for them out of his great love for them, and that they are able to rest in him. Help us come to the table with that in our minds today. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.